Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, would you do me a favor? Would you turn to the book of Acts? The book of Acts. The book of Acts, if you would, Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 8. I propose to you this evening that sinners need the Savior. We have the Bible, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And so I say at the very beginning, let's go soul winning. You have your Bibles open there to Acts chapter number 8. Follow along as you're seated there as I read aloud, beginning at verse number 1. Acts chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. I want you to notice this phrase, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The Holy Spirit is going to call upon the services of the physician Luke to record the words of another New Testament book of the Bible. As a Gentile, Luke was the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament. When we come here to the book of Acts opens with the outpouring of the promised Holy Spirit of God, and then the book of Acts continues with the Spirit-filled proclamation of the gospel. It's here in the book of Acts that we see confrontational methods of evangelism, that of going door-to-door soul winning and publicly sharing Jesus Christ in the marketplace. When you read the book of Acts, you understand these were born-again believers who were vocal and very public about their faith in Jesus Christ. These were not individuals that were seen building a bridge and a relationship before they talked to others about Christ. Just like Jesus talked with that woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, that first encounter, and it was his first encounter there. So the born-again believers here in the first century church, they were very bold in sharing Jesus Christ with others. In the book of Acts, we see the acts of two men. Peter and Paul are recorded primarily here in the book of Acts. We find Peter witnessing primarily to the Jews in chapters 1 through 12. We find Paul witnessing primarily to the Gentiles in chapters 13 through 28. But here in the book of Acts, here's what we find. The book of Acts records Peter and Paul preaching the same gospel. And yet, because the book of Acts refers to the Holy Spirit of God over 70 times, the book of Acts is often called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. In the previous chapter here, in chapter number 7, it is mostly about Stephen. When we come here to chapter number 8, this chapter is mostly about Philip. And so, chapter number 8 could be divided into three sections. In verses 1 through 4, there is the persecution of Philip. In verses 5 through 25, there is the preaching of Philip. And then in verses 26 through 40, there is the personal work of Philip. It's that opening sentence here, in verse number 1 of chapter number 8, your Bibles are open there. I want you to see it's that opening sentence of verse number 1 that ties chapter number 8 with the end of chapter number 7. Verse 1 reads, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." The central figure in the persecution of Stephen was Saul of Tarsus. Saul, being from the tribe of Benjamin, he was probably named after that great king of the Old Testament, Saul. Stephen is stoned, and Saul gave his full approval. And so, verse number 1, it continues with these words. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem." It was Tertullian, that prolific writer of the first century, who said, and I quote, "The blood of the martyrs has become the seed of the church." Persecution of born-again believers has been random up until this time. Oh, we know Peter and John, they have been frequently in and out of jail. But the persecution climaxes with the first martyr, Stephen. And it is going to be this persecution and Stephen's martyrdom that is going to drive the church from their comfort zone and into Samaria, Judea, Asia Minor, and even over into Europe. Verse number 1 concludes, "And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria," here it is, "except the apostles." The last words of verse number 1 indicate that the apostles are courageous and they are going to try to weather the storm there in Jerusalem. These are going to be difficult days for the apostles in Jerusalem. Look, if you would, at verses 2 and 3. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Verse 3 says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church." And those words there, "made havoc," means that he exercised brutality. He was cruel. We're talking about brutality. We're talking about cruelty here. You'll notice the word "hailing." That word "hailing" there means physically dragging someone. And the Bible says that he did not differentiate between a man or a woman. He made no exceptions. Saul just hauled them out of their houses and he threw them into jail. And so, we transition from the persecution in the opening verses to the preaching. Now, it is important for you to see who is where in this biblical narrative. I believe if you miss who is where, I believe you miss one of the applications of this passage. If I could, please, the brand new youth pastor, we'll pick on you first, all right? We're going to have you come up if you would. I'm going to have you stand right here. I want you to see this. The Bible says that the apostles are going to remain in Jerusalem. This is leadership, if you would. The apostles are in Jerusalem. Music man. First time the music man's going to stay awake during the whole service right here, all right? If you would, I'd like for you to stand here. Now don't miss it. The apostles are in Jerusalem. This is leadership here. I want you to see that while leadership remains and weathers the storm in Jerusalem, everyone else is scattered abroad. That's him. This is membership. Leadership is in Jerusalem. Church membership scatters everywhere. Very important that you see that. Look at verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God is going to use persecution as a catalyst for soul winning. But don't miss who is preaching the word everywhere in verse number 4. Help me if you would. The apostles are where? Jerusalem. Church membership is scattered. Who is preaching the word everywhere in verse 4? Leadership or church membership? You answer. You've got it. Church membership was scattered, and they were the ones busy preaching the word. Church members were involved in soul winning. Now, soul winning is a term that is coined from Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 reads, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Soul winning is that Spirit-led communication of the gospel in such a way that the recipients have a valid opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, whenever I say soul winning is the Spirit-led communication of the gospel, I'm referring to the Spirit-led communication of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the payment of sin. Any message other than salvation by grace through faith in Christ and His finished work is not the gospel. Any message that stops short of or adds to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is not the gospel. I want you to see this evening that the first century church had leadership who were soul winners. But I also want you to see this evening that the first century church had membership who were soul winners. Soul winning is for every born-again believer. Soul winning's not a spiritual gift, it's a command. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. This is the great command that was given to the early church. It was not a command just for the apostles. All of us, every born-again believer, we are all to evangelize. None of us can say, well, that's just not my job. Soul winning is individual, not institutional. Soul winning is individual, not institutional. Just because you attend and you're a member of a soul winning church does not mean you're a soul winner. You understand that the soul winner's crown of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, it's presented to individuals, not institutions. When we stand before God one day, He's not going to call the roll for this church and say, all of the members come up, you all get the soul winner's crown. You receive the soul winner's crown if you go soul winning. Now thank God for every person that generously gives to the ministries of this church. But that does not fulfill your responsibility to be a personal soul winner and to share your faith with others. Just like tithing and baptism are commands, you and I, we don't have to wait for any special feeling or leading of the Lord when God has already given each and every one of us a clear command to be a soul winner. Soul winning does not require a special sign when God has already commanded us to go. Surveys seem to indicate that less than 5% of the church membership has ever personally led a soul to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 5%. How sad it would be to live and die and never share the gospel of Christ with someone else. I'm just saying, here in this chapter, what we see is, we see leadership who sets the pace, who sets the example, and are active in sharing their faith verbally and handing out gospel leaflets. And as the church has leadership that sets the pace and the example, we also need church membership to rally behind the pastor and to rally around the leadership and say, listen, it's your job to go soul winning, just like it's the pastor's job to go soul winning. Boy, we want to criticize the Catholics for paying their priests to do their praying for them, but I'm afraid Baptists, we think we pay our preacher to do our soul winning for us. What I want you to see is leadership is weathering the storm. Church membership is scattered abroad. They're the ones that are preaching the word. They're the ones that are going soul winning. Is it no wonder whenever we read in the book of Acts, we don't read about a church that is being added to. We're seeing a church that is being multiplied. Can you imagine what would happen in this area? The horse capital of the world. That pained me to say that. I just want you to know. They might revoke my driver's license from Lexington for saying something like that in the church house. But could you imagine what God could do in this Ocala region if more than just the leadership and the staff at this church understood the importance of sharing the good news with the lost and dying world? I'm talking about more than deacons. I'm talking about more than the pastor and the music director and the youth pastor. It's more than, well, that's what we pay them to do. No, you don't! God has called and God has commanded every one of us to be involved in this thing of soul winning. I'm talking about leadership being a soul winner. I'm talking about membership going soul winning here. The biblical model shows that sharing the gospel with sinners was not something limited to just church leadership. I'm saying tonight, let's go soul winning. Leadership and membership. Let's make every ministry of this church a soul winning ministry. Boy, Sunday school teachers should be presenting the gospel in their Sunday school classes and personally talking with their students before and after class and finding out whether or not they've been saved. Junior church is a perfect setting for making young people aware of their sin, pointing them to the Savior, and giving them an opportunity to be saved. I'm saying, let's make every ministry of this church a soul-winning ministry. Now, if we're going to do that, I would say to you, let's schedule a time to go soul-winning every week. most people do not go soul winning on a consistent basis if they do not have a scheduled time to go. Participate in the soul winning program of the church. Don't make plans. Don't make appointments that will interfere with the soul winning program of your church. Get yourself a Soul Winner's New Testament. Soul Winner's New Testament, it has print that's easy to read. It's convenient. You can carry it in a purse. You can carry it in a pocket. And then whenever you come out to the soul winning program of the church, you have your New Testament, then I want you to look sharp. I want you to have fresh breath. I want you to smile. That's what we're talking about. Let's go soul winning. Leadership. Let's go soul winning. And membership. Let's go soul winning. You know, the worst job in this church, it ought to be the person who has to fill the gospel track rack in the church. I mean, because when born-again believers who are filled with the Spirit of God realize their responsibility to go soul winning, whenever they come to church, you know what they say? Boy, I'm out. I'm out. Whenever I come to church, I've got to reload. Because whenever I leave the doors of this church, everyone that I come in contact with, I realize they have an eternal soul and they're going to live somewhere forever. And I want to make sure that anyone that crosses my path has an opportunity to hear the gospel and be saved. And I realize that everybody that I come across is I'm not going to have a chance to be able to talk to, but I can give them a gospel tract. Watch this, if you would, please. I didn't have to say anything. Anyone and everyone can hand out gospel tracts. The meanest guy in this room will even take a tract. Watch. I told you. Listen, you know what I'm just trying to show you? We make up so many excuses why we can't do it when the truth is, it's not hard. Anyone can hand out a gospel tract. Your children all left, but you know what I do? I take up a child. I see someone younger. Would you help me? Yeah, you sleeping. No, I'm just kidding. Come on up. That mean lady sitting over there by the pole, she needs the gospel. Here's all you do. Watch. Go ahead. You do it. That's it. That's it. Now you're laughing. But I'm telling you, every time every born-again believer comes to the church house, they ought to say, I need gospel tracts. And the person who fills those gospel tracts after church, they have to walk up and go, oh, they're gone again. Yes. And can I tell you tonight, that's what the church is all about. It's about you and I actively sharing our faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, successful soul winning is simply sharing the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God. Now, every one of you know that you could do what I just did. Honestly, will you look around? Can you imagine if every person under the sound of my voice would just do this one thing? Hand out gospel literature on a regular basis. Can you imagine if everyone under the sound of my voice this week and every week after, you handed out 5 tracts? That's just one a day. I think you begin to see why what happened in the book of Acts, it happened. I'll close with this. As I said earlier, I pastored for 13 years before joining the administration at Commonwealth Baptist College. I served as pastor in Butler, Pennsylvania. On Wednesday church service, that would be our prayer meeting and Bible study. We would take prayer requests on Wednesday night. And almost on every Wednesday night, a request would go up like this. Someone would raise their hand and say, "Pastor, would you pray for," and they would name a family member. They would say, "I have an aunt or a brother," and they would name a distant state and city and say, "Will you add them to the prayer list so that my loved one will get saved?" And we would add them. Do you understand tonight there is somewhere in the United States or in North America someone who is praying for a family member or friend, and at their church, their prayer request went something like this: "Preacher, would you do me a favor? I've got a brother that lives in Ocala, Florida. Would you pray that he would get saved?" You know what they're really praying? They're praying, "Will you be used of the Lord to get them the gospel so that they could get saved?" Amen. Do you understand whether someone experiences an answer to prayer somewhere else, they are depending on you getting them the gospel so that they can get saved? I wonder how many people have got discouraged in praying for a family member or a loved one because they wanted their loved one to get saved, but there was a Christian in that town that never handed out gospel literature, never went soul winning, and because they never went soul winning, their family member never heard the gospel, and they never got saved. Can I say to the membership of this church, I want you to saturate this area with the gospel. So whoever lives in this area, they will have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. I believe one of the major applications in the chapter where we just read in Acts chapter number 8 is not so much the persecution of the church. It's the persecution was used as a catalyst to get the church out of their comfort zone, and they could say to you and I, "The apostles are in Jerusalem. Church membership is everywhere spreading the gospel, and the model for your church and the model for the Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky is leadership and membership going soul winning." Oh, God help you and I to be the witnesses that He has commanded each and every one of us to be. Thank you. You may be seated.